afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch.
Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garments of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Etan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now, coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time with your host, The Fetch.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Mary, from Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia. This is The Fetch, and you are indeed listening to Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Today's date is Thursday, May the 20th, 2021, and a good Thursday afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late evening to early Friday morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. It's been quite a hot day here in Riyadh, with daytime highs hitting 106 degrees under sunny skies. And, of course, the evening, it didn't cool off all that much. It was still in the 90s after 9 o'clock. We're now sitting at around 88 degrees at just after 1 o'clock in the morning, and we'll be going down to a low of 80 degrees in the hour before sunrise. And then after tomorrow, temperatures are expected to hit summer normal, which is above 110 degrees or 110 plus, with overnight lows in the middle to upper 80s. So summertime, everybody, as far as I'm concerned, has essentially arrived here in Saudi Arabia. You know, I did something I probably shouldn't do because we're supposed to be boycotting professional sports, but what I do pick up is out of the Ukraine, there's a site that gives a lot of great sports, right? So I downloaded a Dodger game. Shame on me. I know. Good game. Quite frankly, I love baseball. It's a great game. There was no social. There was. It kind of disgusted me a little bit. And what that was I'm listening to the game, and all of a sudden, one of the announcers, I don't even know the announcer for the Dodgers anymore. I do know Oral is the color guy, but I don't know who the announcer is, some young guy. And he's like talking up this great thing about how Major League Baseball and the Los Angeles Dodgers have a vaccinated section, and they're trying to increase the attendance of the vaccinated section. I'm like, you gotta be, even the Dodgers are doing this bull, you know what? And I'm like, you know, this is the problem we have and we're going to have moving forward into 2023, 2024, and perhaps beyond, but perhaps not. We'll have to see. But that's this idea of a segregated society. You know, we're getting in a situation, a very dangerous situation now, where the vaccinated, the genetically modified humans, the mutants, if we want to call them that, stupid people too, you know. I don't know what you really want to call them. I think mutants is actually a fair and honest way. They're going to be self-isolating. And really it comes down to how many of us out there can actually push the issue of the vaccine are no longer welcome. Because that's the only way, quite frankly, you're going to break down this whole terrorists, this medical terrorist play, you know, this big giant conspiracy that we've been witnessing over the past, 14, 15 months or so, whatever the case may be. We're in May now, probably starting in January. Yeah, we're about 14, 15 months, 16 months into this thing now. So, as I've always said, at least for the Americans, usually America leads and the world follows. So to those of you And most of you I know who are my U.S. listeners, it's going to be very, very important for America to win. Whether you or I like it or not, America is still looked up to a very high degree. So it's going to be very, very important that over the next few, maybe year, 2 years, we kind of set everything aside and focus on the self-governance, taking everything back to the best we can while things play out behind the scenes. And there are indeed things playing out behind the scenes. For instance, I saw a video going back to March where you had Biden walking back, off of this hallway where he gave a speech, and two Marines turned the corner and they didn't even bother to salute the guy. And of course that doesn't happen per se. You don't just walk past your commander in chief. So we will have to see exactly what is going on behind the scenes. But for now, we'll just leave some of that behind for now while we focus on today's show. First of all, we do have a guest today, Fabian Fjelling. He is a Swedish activist, former Swedish activist, really. He used to be a media activist. He used to go out and set up media companies and basically kind of expose the media. And he did that in Sweden for quite some time until it really became a little bit too dangerous. But he's kind of a fun guy. I like working with the guy. He's formerly in the aviation business. Of course, that's, I think, all been stopped. We'll find out more from him today. But he's going to be coming on in the second hour, so I have a very easy day today. I only have to do 1 hour live, and I believe they fixed the brakes. As you know, we haven't had brakes at the bottom of the hour. I believe they told me that that is fixed, so if that is indeed the case, I'm going to have a very easy day tonight. For me anyways, it's 1:09 in the morning here locally here in Saudi Arabia. But anyways, let's kind of get this going. We're going to be a little bit more internationally focused, I think, today. It's going to be kind of a relaxed show. I'm not going to get too hyped up. I'm not going to get too ranting today. I just don't, you know, maybe I will, but I don't think so. I think it's going to be more of an informational show with Fabian coming on in hour number two. You know, this past week, 2 weeks really, it's been very, very interesting. We've seen a lot of dissension and coming down from, and it's not a big deal really. I just kind of, just mentioning it, but a lot of this, not a lot, but a fair, or let's just say a sustained amount of dissension coming from some in the audience. And it's all okay. It's your right to do that type of stuff. It's also our right to respond. And I got a kick out of some of what was aimed my way privately and publicly. They're saying, well, your show's just a rant show. You know, you can get your information anywhere else if you just research. I'm like, okay, well, I must be providing a service, dude. Can't be so bad if, you know. And actually, you know, rant shows aren't so easy because you're basically going by the seat of your pants and you got to talk just nonstop and you just got to kind of make it interesting too. So it's like, if you're only doing rant shows, guys, and to those of you criticizing that, try it. Try it and then get back to me, because those are actually more difficult than having a ton of notes prepared for you and you basically using the notes to get through 1, 2, 3, 4 hours or whatever the case may be. So today it's going to be kind of like that type of stuff. You know, it's really hot here. I just turned off the air conditioner and opened the window, turned off the still recovering from that virus, whatever I had a couple weeks ago, but turned off the ceiling fan and it's kind of baking in here. It's kind of very, very hot. Anyways, getting back to the Dodgers, let's get this show on the road. I was really surprised, quite frankly, that we are putting these COVID vaccine mutant sections in our sports arenas. And I thought they're saying, well, you know, we're looking for, you know, to raise the attendance there. And I'm like, you know what? A lot of us in the reality world, they call it conspiracy world, but it's really reality. We don't trust this vaccine, this genetic mutation, and nor should we. There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of deaths. If those numbers are being suppressed, we could be in the tens of thousands by now. We have massive amounts of, adverse effects. And sure, there's a lot of people out there that have had nothing happen to them, but the risks are so high. Look, the government here, they diagnosed me with COVID-19. Okay, fine. It was a unique experience. It was so painful to breathe, to be honest with you. Really, really hard to breathe, and it was painful to breathe. It was very difficult. But it lasted, seriously, 4 to 5 days was pretty tough for me anyways. I'm a strong guy to begin with. And by 4 to 5 days, I started to recover, and things got back kind of not to normal. But they're certainly recovered. Now, would I shut down the world for something like this? No. Would I ask you to change your entire life for what I went through? No. I don't know where it came from. We had a lot of people in my office who were sick. And I probably got it from one of them, quite frankly. But it could have been from some of the vaccinated people I was hanging out with. So we don't know. But the idea of keeping vaccinated people away from everybody may be a very good thing. I mean, it may be a very good thing. Let them go ahead and spread their poisonous spiked protein, whatever, around. I don't know if it's possible. According to Pfizer documents, it actually is possible. If you read the Pfizer documents, they're saying that pregnant women should not be around people who have been recently vaccinated. Okay, well, that tells you that they're shedding something. They're shedding these spike proteins. The spike proteins are actually the thing that causes all the harm. So why the FDA and a few others would come around and say, this is approved for emergency use, yet they deny all this other ways to treat this virus is beyond me. But that's really the situation we're in today. So I was thinking, wouldn't it be rather interesting if we saw in these stadiums, all of these sections, we see the numbers increase. Oh, gee, you can get vaccinated for $10. Drives us how stupid it is, guys. You got to go get tested and PCR tested just to go watch a baseball game. Are you out of your mind? I would tell these sports stadiums, go screw you. I would never go to a game under these conditions. What do you mean I got to spend all this money plus the ticket just to go watch you guys? No, I'm not doing that. I love the sport. I love the game. But if you're going to sit there and social justice warrior yourself and virtue signal yourself into oblivion, that's your choice. And that's kind of where we're at today. So many different institutions, so many different corporations, they are social justice warring, I think that's the word. They're just social justice warring themselves into oblivion. And I'm okay with that, but what I'd really be fascinated to see is if we saw inside the vaccinated, quote-unquote, mutant section, the numbers increase, and then all of a sudden we start to see them imploding as all these mutants start to have all their health issues. And wouldn't that be a lesson? And of course, a lot of people already have a lot of health problems. I don't know if you saw Eric Clapton, the guitarist from the 60s and 70s, when it was at the peak, and maybe early 80s, but he went and got himself, quote unquote, mutated. And basically couldn't play the guitar for 2-3 weeks. And he says, I wish I never came near the needle. I wish I never got next to the needle. Something to that effect. So people know, people get it. But in the meantime, you've got the Dodgers, the Giants, the Padres, the Mariners, that would be up in Seattle, New York Yankees, the Mets. And then of course you're going to have a lot of these minor league baseball programs are all going to go forward with this idea of a vaccinated section and their discounted tickets and all that stuff. But you know what? Cheap. If you want to sell your soul for $10 and running the risk of being terribly ill in 2-3 years or even dead within 2-3 years, my hat's off to you. Go knock yourself out. Anyways, you can go get mutated right there at the game. How crazy is that? Let's see, what else? Saudi is opening their borders, or has opened their borders. This was effective the 17th, and I think about 1 o'clock in the morning, something like that. But all nationals traveling, that's a little bit too fast. No, I guess I'm going to be changing the laptop, by the way, that I use because I have a problem with Microsoft. It keeps going to 100%. What do you call that? 100% disk, and then nothing works. Anyways, I didn't want to go with this part first, but I guess I have no choice. Okay, Saudi Arabia is going to open their borders. They did the 17th. So basically, you can come into the country. If you are not from 20 different countries, one of those would be the United States. The United Kingdom would be another one you might recognize. United Arab Emirates, surprisingly. And what else is there? Brazil, Egypt, France, Germany, India, Indonesia, Ireland, Italy, Japan, Lebanon, Pakistan, Portugal. Now, I believe if you're fully vaccinated and you can prove it, you only have to serve like a 3-day quarantine. If you're not vaccinated, I believe you have a 7-day quarantine, something like that. Plus, you would have to go take a PCR test. Here, the country actually makes it pretty easy for you to do that. It's not like other countries where you're spending tens, if not hundreds of dollars just to get a test done. So you can actually go do that at some of the local locations here. Another thing about internationally is Japan. You know, they've got the Summer Olympics. It's coming up in just 2 more months. So when Japan was actually awarded the 2020 Summer Games back in Buenos Aires about 8 years ago, you had, obviously, members of the Japanese delegation ecstatic. You know, they're hugging people. They're screaming, yay, isn't this the greatest thing to ever happen to us since, I don't know, since something. And anyways, you know, 1,200 dignitaries at the time and athletes were filling up a convention hall. And all the cheers and all this, it was a very proud, exciting time for Japan some 8 years ago. Well, obviously, that joy has rapidly begun to dissipate. It did last year, and now it's getting even more desperate. We've had a year-long delay so far in the Olympic Games. They were supposed to go, of course, last year in 2020. They're now going to be going here in 2021. Obviously, the excitement has worn off. You have a lot of anxious people in Japan. COVID-19, they say, continues to spread both domestically and they're saying around the world. Of course, that's because the health ministries are incompetent. Otherwise, it would not be doing that. And there's recent polls now in Japan indicating that between 60 to 80% of the people in Japan believe that the Tokyo Olympics should now be canceled and not held this summer. Move it back perhaps and try again next summer. But there's been a petition calling for the games now to be canceled, and that has generated more than 350,000 signatures. And criticism among members of the Japanese medical community is growing louder. But you have to understand, the medical community are the reason for all the problems. It's not the business of the medical community to quarantine and isolate and keep all of us healthy people from being able to live, work, and move. That's a human right. It's the medical community's business to treat those who are sick. Bottom line, if you can't do it, get the hell out of business. If you don't know what the hell you're doing, get the hell out of business. If you're sitting on your hands whining like a baby, oh, lock everything down because you don't know what the hell you're doing, then get the hell out of business. Because really, it's the medical industry that is the problem. They've had solutions to this, whether it's hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, but no. Every one of them, down to virtually the entire globe, sat on their hands waiting for Pfizer and Moderna to rush out their vaccines so that basically the health ministries and the health departments around the world can put their entire populations under a very sick medical experiment put forward by one of the companies, Moderna, who's not Moderna, Pfizer, whose CEO is a guy named Abura, a Jewish guy, created mad cow's disease. Can you imagine the stupidity? You're sitting on your hands. You refuse to go out and treat anybody in your country. You go ahead and let people die. Because, oh, I gotta get it. I'm on the vaccine train, man. I'm corrupt or whatever the case may be. And you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait and people die and people die and more people die. And everyone's like afraid because, oh, all these people are dying. But no, it's the incompetence of the medical industry. It's very simple. It's incompetence. But it's not incompetence. It's planned mass murder of the people. And then once they get their vaccine, they go ahead and plan even more mass murders of the people. And here's the thing. I don't grasp the idiocy of what we are witnessing, the sheer madness of what we are witnessing. You've got an untested, untried, new type of therapy, which is pure gene therapy. You've already got thousands upon thousands upon hundreds of thousands of adverse reactions, and yet you persist in literally imposing upon your population that everybody be a part of this sick experiment. And if it goes wrong, you're going to have a catastrophic failure to your people. And where are you going to be? Oh, you're all wonderful sitting there, but 30% of your population can't have children. 30% of your population are now woefully, their health is deteriorated. And who knows, 12 to 15% of the people are actually dying from other things because their immune system is shot. It's just dumb. It's madness beyond belief. I don't even know how to get through. It's like, I don't know how a health ministry can be so corrupt or so completely brainwashed or completely complicit or completely stupid. I just don't get it. You know what I mean? Because we're not inside that business, so we're on the outside looking in, and we can see a bigger picture because we're not brainwashed. We don't have this tunnel vision that you would have as you sit inside these medical health departments or health ministries, etc. It's scary what these people are doing to their own people all around the globe. Anyways, you go back to Japan. You have this guy, what's his name? Kentaro Iwata. He's a professor of infectious diseases, right? Who can hold these guys with any seriousness? I see these guys as nothing but political hacks. There's nothing about them that has an ounce of professionalism in them, because if they had an ounce of professionalism, they'd be out there solving this thing already, not waiting for some guy that created mad cow's disease to come give you some mRNA genetics Frankenstein jab. Really a stab. Anyways, the guy says Japan is not ready to hold such a big event given the current situation of the COVID pandemic. And then he goes on to say the world likewise is not ready to. Yeah, we're not ready because of the incompetence of the health professionals. That's why we're not ready. And we need to first, at least in America, solve this damn 2020 election. You got what's going on in Maricopa. You got something now going on in Wisconsin. You've got something going on in New Hampshire. You've got something going on in Michigan. You have something going on in Pennsylvania, Georgia. Lots and lots of, what do you call it, the audits and such of the ballots. And quite frankly, I believe that this year was so unique, we should do a 100% thorough analysis of the voting across every single state, across every single county, across every single precinct. And let's really understand just how bad and how corrupt and how criminal the voting political establishment is. Not the voting, but the counting, the electoral establishments, all these different secretaries of state and all these various election boards. And just find out that we should do a 100% nationwide audit. We're Americans. Let's get to it. Do everything. And let's really, really understand just how corrupt and criminal the electoral part of our political class truly is. Anyways, I think that's where we should go with that. Well, back to Japan. You know, you got the medical establishment crying like a bunch of babies. Okay, what you're just telling us is you're incompetent. You're stupid. You should be driven out of business. Let's get some professionals in there that know what the hell they're doing. So Japan has basically capitulated and said, we don't have a professional medical class. We're morons, basically. We're following the World Health Organization. We're following the CDC, some of the dumbest, most politically driven agenda out there, you know, some of these people out there. So now what's Japan done? They said yesterday it will bar. Oh, we're going into a break. All right, it's The Fetch, everybody. Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for actually Inside the Eye Primetime. We'll be back right after this. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live Primetime. Getting back pretty much to 100%. As you know, we were out for a couple weeks with that diagnosis. It was difficult, man. I'm still having a little bit of breathing difficulty. But anyways, we are back and feeling much better. Thank you very much. And thanks for all the well wishes over the past few weeks. Things are doing very, very, very good. you know, it's very difficult right now. The world that we're in, huge flux. We got a situation where people, they really are starting to wake up. You know, people are starting to really start to get what's going on. But one area where I thought it was kind of cute, you know, Trump, when he was president, at least publicly president, he made a executive order that, you know, allowed for the release of more and more alien type, excuse me, UFO disclosure. So you had Tucker Carlson this past week. He's out there on the show and he's showing this thing from the Navy and it's going along and it's like, you know, this craft then goes down into the water and basically disappears. And it's like, you would think, you know, I'm hearing complaints that you would think that this would be this great big thing. Like everybody would be going crazy over this. It's like, but why? We knew about this stuff 10 years ago, Tucker. We knew about, we already knew about these types of craft. Out in the middle of the Pacific that the Navy was talking about, not 2 years ago, not four, five, maybe five, seven, 10 years ago. None of this is news to us. The only difference is now you're covering it, Tucker. I mean, my goodness, why should we be all, wow, look at that. Dude, you're just like taking an old 2013 YouTube clip that we may have seen already, and you're trying to make this into a news story. With all due respect, we're not impressed. We already knew about all this stuff. What you're going to have to go is way deeper with that. Maybe I'm talking about maybe a news conference with one of these purported people, talking about aliens or whatever you want to call it. You're going to have to take it to that level, you know. But there's lots of things going on in the world that's very dark. In fact, it's hidden. Whether it's going down, because we know we got a lot of politicians making journeys down to Antarctica, to some of the bases down there. We have our deep underground military bases where it's purported that there's been a lot of battles going on relative to freeing up some of the, pedophilia, the child trafficking, these areas where they're actually holding a lot of these people, even rumored to have happened in Washington, D.C. I don't know. I wouldn't know. You know, it's just out there and it's rumored, right? So we have to just kind of recognize it all for what it is. Anyways, we were talking before the break about Japan. And literally we're only 2 months away, you know. And for me, well, just, you know, obviously travel's a kind of a big interest for me because I'm here and I would like to be able to get back without having to kill myself. And if you go back, let's say, to Japan, they've just added six more countries. They got the Olympics just 2 months away. They've now added Thailand, Cambodia, Sri Lanka. Seychelles, I can understand. Seychelles is basically shut down. Everybody's vaccinated on the Seychelles and everybody is sick. Saint Lucia and East Timor and Mongolia. So all of these countries have now been added to Japan's no-fly list. Saudi, we have 20. But that brings Japan to 159 countries that they now block. 159 countries. And you got the Olympics two months away. How in the heck are you going to have international traffic to your Olympics? And so what I'm thinking now is the 2020-2021 Olympics is going to go down as a big yawn. Nobody's going to care because, quite frankly, we have to defeat the medical industry. We have to defeat what is this deep state. You know, they say Trump is in control, Trump is in control, Trump is in control. But that's not the perception. The perception is Biden is in control. And it's not Biden. A lot of people understand it's not Biden. But they do grasp that Biden is still the president. Biden is still signing things. There are real ramifications and real repercussions due to the policies that Biden has been putting into place. You have, of course, the border situation. You've got gas shortages now throughout much of the eastern, let's say, southeastern mid-Atlantic part of the United States. We have a bridge in Mississippi that is now, for all intents and purposes, down. I know it's on the New Madrid fault line. I was talking to somebody recently, said, you know, Dennis, that bridge was just modified. It was just completed in 2020. It was just completed. I mean, they just refurbished the whole thing. How can it already be broken? I mean, and also if you look at it, you got this rust everywhere. Why is it already rusting? It's only been a year or so, a year and a half. What's going on with these bridges? And some people are saying, you know, you've got the New Madrid fault line. If that thing gives, these bridges are supposed to have been reinforced to handle a decent size earthquake so they would not be taken out. Now we've got a crack in this bridge, and you still got the issues now of what are you going to do with your supermarkets, what are you going to do with transporting your farm products, etc. So a lot of big issues now in the United States with Biden. And who knows what really is going on, quite frankly. But in America, we don't have a choice. We have to solve the 2020 election. We have to solve it because otherwise you don't have a country. I mean, you don't. You're basically, you are just a third world type person without any representation. And we see people going in, taking back their school boards. Necessary. Turn off the TV. Turn off everything. It's necessary. Get involved. Do what you can do. Seriously, do what you can do. Kick these guys out. Get rid of the Marxists. Get rid of the communitarians. If you're big on the communitarian thing, understand what's going on with your zoning. Make sure you correct some of these issues. Try to isolate some of these globalists who are putting in these issues. Try to put an end, and it's not easy, but obviously put an end to the immigration issue. That's a huge problem. You've got right now Biden literally just shipping people all over the country. Right now he's going after Tennessee, and he's shipping people into these small towns in Tennessee. Well, what the hell are you doing that for? Why are you putting our people at risk? This is criminal. It's treasonous. And it's not just America. It's everywhere where there's a white population. However, to Australia's credit, they've actually stopped almost virtually all immigration. But not so in America. You can't leave if you're American, but you can bring in tens of thousands. And I don't know if you saw the exchange this past week between, I think, Rand Paul. I'm not sure it wasn't Rand Paul. I don't remember the representative. And the Jewish guy, Mayorkas, who's the now Department of Homeland Security czar, or whatever you want to call the guy. And you can clearly see that we've gone from basically a controlled border situation to 45,000 catches a day. Unbelievable. Or per month. I think it's 40,000 a day average, something like that. Insane. And you're listening to this Jewish moron speaking. You know, they're saying, well, at the end of the day, he just throws in some stupid Jewish buzzword that, you know, we can't do that because that's against our values as a country. Well, since when did these frickin' Jews decide for us our values? You know what I mean? Dropping children off in the middle of fields is not our value. All right? Doing things illegally is not our value. That's a Jewish value. Jews can, I'm serious. I'm at the stage now. The Biden administration is one of the most Jewish administrations in the history of the United States. All right? It is one of, if not the most Jewish administration in the history of the United States. It's not an American administration. Now you know who the deep state is. The deep state is Jewish finance. The deep state is all that Jewish finance buys. Media, intelligence services, politicians, judges. That's what's really going on here. And that's what America has to take back. And then we have to immediately, like a laser, and I know it's going on in parallel, but we need to go after the medical establishments. The CDC, the FDA. Especially as the deaths go. Now, a lot of us, we don't care. But a lot of us, we've got friends who took it because they just felt like they had to. I'm not sure why they volunteered themselves up so quickly, but they did it. And it's going to be a shame. So a lot of us are going to lose some good people too, and we all know that. Anyways, let's see. Japan is pretty much going to be shut down. So again, I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't see how, literally how Japan is going to pull this thing off. And the problem again is the incompetence and the stupidity and the criminality, the corruption of the global health medical the global medical health establishment or medical establishment, whatever you want to, it's corrupt, guys. It's corrupt to the core. It's purely 100% driven. For instance, if you go to India, right? If you recall back in the early days of the quote unquote the pandemic in America, you had Trump talking about hydroxychloroquine. Fauci had actually said hydroxychloroquine works back in 2005, a paper 2005, 2007, something like that. Immediately, the deep state, if you want to call it that, Jewish media, if you want to call it that, the medical establishments, whatever you want to call it, it's all Jewish driven. They completely blast hydroxychloroquine. It's not safe. We don't have any studies. It's all bullshit. It's a 65-year-old product. Do you realize in Uganda? Uganda is a big malaria market. Lots of mosquitoes in Uganda. I didn't know that, by the way, but a lot of mosquitoes. You know how many deaths they've had from COVID-19? 19. Why? Well, they basically eat HCQ, hydroxychloroquine, like candy because of the malaria. They eat it like candy. Throughout all of this time, they've had only 19 people purportedly die from COVID-19. Then you go to America. You have the CDC constantly revising their numbers. This past week, they came out with new reported figures, and they're saying that of, excuse me, all the deaths in America, only 5% were directly attributed to COVID-19, which they apparently never isolated either. But there's something out there, guys, because I don't know. I got something that's pretty nasty. So there's something going on because I got something, right? I don't know what it is. I won't say it's necessarily COVID-19. The government says that, right? But nonetheless, you have only 5%. So maybe between 5, I don't know what the numbers are going to be, but 5 to 9,000 people died just from the COVID-19 if you're going to believe CDC numbers. That's a massive, massive criminal thought, because why did you lie to us the whole time? And then you kept hydroxychloroquine off the market. You kept ivermectin off the market. So those who did have the added comorbidities, they never had a chance, because the medical professionals, if you want to call them, and they are professionals, they're getting paid to kill people. They never allowed you to bring in these various prophylactic products, the ones, the therapies, the treatments, whatever you want to call it. They never allowed it. They didn't allow HCQ. They never allowed ivermectin. Well, if you go to India, India was giving ivermectin almost like candy. They had ivermectin kits, and they were giving it out to their population all the way up until January. In January, they decided to stop. Because, hey, the vaccines are rolling out, right? Oh, isn't that wonderful? Well, they stopped giving out the ivermectin. They stopped. They actually had a kit, ivermectin, I think vitamin C, some zinc or something. They actually had a kit. And the kit was costing the government about $3. Well, in January, the attention went from these kits to giving the vaccines. Within essentially 1 month, 2 months, about 6 weeks later, 6 to 8 weeks later, the deaths have shot up by their numbers higher than it was during the very, very first peak. All of it due because they stopped the ivermectin, they stopped the HCQ, but it's mainly ivermectin, and then they basically went to the vaccine. Well, last week, two states, one of those is Goa, G-O-A, it's basically the tourism hotspot of India. They said, hey, this ain't working, man. We're going back to the ivermectin. So they went back to the ivermectin. Already, deaths and cases, but deaths especially, are down 10% within 5 days, because these numbers I have go back to last week, the 15th. So literally, they cut everything, and now it's, I mean, you're talking about literally almost a straight drop down, like a brick. 10% drop in 5 days. Because they, what, brought out the ivermectin. Now, what's happening? 6 weeks ago, the WHO, World Health Organization, they promised to issue updated guidances about ivermectin. Well, they're saying, oh, well, it's not safe. You know, we need more studies. Literally, quoting here, and this is why it can be used at the early stage of the disease, trying to prevent the severe disease. But of course, they said, as they said from the start, more studies are needed to determine if it actually works. Okay, it's $3. We see the numbers going down. We had many frontline hospitals inside of the of India where they were getting 20, 25 infections a day. And when they went to the ivermectin, they saw the infections drop to 2 to 3 people per day. So they know something was working. It was getting a lot of good publicity, but you've got Merck, which was the original manufacturer of ivermectin, which has handed out over 2.3 billion doses since that product came out. They're now saying, well, gee, we don't know if it's safe. Oh, give us a freaking break, you morons. Again, these people are just, they're not stupid in one way, you know, but they're stupid. Well, why would you say it's not safe? You guys gave out 2.3 because it's gaslighting. It's just stupid. So now you got the World Health Organization. They're trying to give out this guidance saying it's not safe. They've given some, the Philippines, a specific country guidance. Why anybody, any professional would listen to a freaking gay terrorist, okay? The World Health Organization is run by a gay, a flaming, flake, fruity, gay Ethiopian. Why in the hell would you listen to some frickin' moron like that? Why would you risk your country so some guy in little tutu pants can run around drinking something looking for somebody to pick him up at some gay party? Why would you listen to these people? Again, stupidity, unprofessionalism, lack of integrity, lack of I guess, any type of creativity, or you're just frickin' corrupt as hell. But why would you listen to these people? So weeks and weeks have gone by. Healthcare professionals are saying that the ivermectin is working. It's good. It's good. Now, the good thing here is that you've got the WHO, World Health Organization, now going after India. They've seen their deaths drop by 10% in 5 days. The WHO is warning against the use of it. Oh, go screw yourselves. Who are you but a bunch of fake, political, incompetent, criminally negligent morons at the World Health Organization. And of course, India has already had their run-in with the World Health Organization, with Bill Gates, with how this whole system works, because Bill Gates brought in his polio vaccine and he freaking paralyzed and damaged permanently, seriously, 400,000 children. Why in the hell would you accept anything from this cabal? Seriously, they're all interlinked together. Why would any country trust their people, their country, the security of their future for their children and their grandchildren to a bunch of incompetent, agenda-driven, genocidal psychopaths at the World Health Organization and the CDC and the FDA? Why would you do it? Again, are you that corrupt? And that's how we have to start framing this. Because ultimately, hundreds of millions and billions of people are perfectly fine. I think this disease has only seen like 135 million people total across the whole globe that have supposedly contracted this thing. 135 million out of what, 7 billion? That means that the vast majority, 93, 4, 5% of humanity, perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. You can treat it with ivermectin, HCQ, and some other things if you need to. You never needed to shut things down, but no. You wanted to dominate and control the population. That's been the agenda the whole time. This has nothing to do with health. trust us, guys. It's nothing to do with health. This is a black hat operation to literally take down the world, take down the economy, isolate everybody geographically so nobody can go anywhere. Oh, my goodness. And, oh, you got to stay home now. It's insane. Really, it is insane. What else is going on? It's saying the state health minister of Goa, Vishwajit Rane, said Monday that people are going to be given, this was last Monday, the 10th, or the something, I think the 10th, they were going to be given 12 micrograms of ivermectin for a period of 5 days as a prophylaxis. Rane claimed that the state government's decision was based on studies by expert panels from the UK, Italy, Spain, and Japan, which found a statistically significant reduction in mortality and recovery time in patients with COVID-19 without offering. And then they put this in the article without offering any specifics. Do your own homework, reporter. Again, do your own homework. They'll sit there and say, there's not enough studies done on these various prophylactics. Okay, prophylaxis, I should say. Okay, fine. Do your homework. Do your homework. Where's the studies for Pfizer? Where are the studies for Moderna? Where are the studies for AstraZeneca? Oh, that's okay, right? It's okay to give something that kills tens of thousands of people globally, damages hundreds of thousands of people. That's okay. But something like ivermectin that's been on the market for 60, 65 years, it's not okay. You know, there's an old simple thing from the medical industry. Do no harm. Duh. You know, in the pharmaceutical word, you got harm in pharmacy. You ever think of that? Harm's right in the middle of the word. So I guess the word is telling us that those who practice the art of pharmaceuticals are practicing the art of harming people. Now, I know that's not always the case because Western medicine has done some really great stuff. But as it's practiced today, with all of this various political agenda behind the scenes with COVID vaccines, passports, control, border closures, and on and on and on. We are staring in the face of a global medical tyranny. And I know a lot of you see it. I know a lot of you understand it. What they have done is imposed upon their countries, literally just sacrificing their countries. Here, sacrifice. Oh, the vaccine's going to save us. Come on, this is Bill Gates. Do you guys understand? This is Bora. He's the moron that created mad cow disease. And he's the guy that you're going to entrust to save you guys? Really? So my wish, my desire, is that at least within nationalist-run countries, and there's a lot of us out there, is that those responsible for sacrificing their populations be held to the highest, strictest punishments available. You can't go and sacrifice your entire population and not be seen as an enemy of your people. In America, we call this treason. Treason comes with it a capital punishment. Now, whether or not you can get that, I don't know, but you certainly can get it through Nuremberg trials. And why shouldn't every single health official that imposed this genetic manipulation on their population, if it goes south, guys, if it goes south, every single one of them from around the entire world should be held accountable. Either that or they can just go shoot themselves with a bullet for just killing all their people. That's kind of how I view it. I may not be right, but I'm telling you, you cannot have a world whereby we are going to have medical tyranny. It's just not going to work. It will not work, and you can see it now working today. All right, it's The Fetch, everybody. Fabian Fialing will be up next. He's going to come out of Sweden, so I hope you enjoy that. We'll be right back. Okay, I think now, guys, we are back with the studio. We're going to try to add our guest here. Let me try to do this real quick. Okay, there he is. All right, everybody, now we've got him. Fabian, sorry, that was a Skype issue. I couldn't add you on that line, so okay, we'll take you in through a different line.
Okay.
So anyways, see, we have many ways to solve these problems, man. Live radio, you gotta have many solutions. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not familiar with Fabian, he's kind of been a longtime guest now in the show, appears from time to time. He's come to us from Sweden. He's actually come to us out of China. And he is a former, I don't know what to call you, dude, maybe a, what do you call that, a media activist? You would go after the media, kind of set them up and make them look kind of stupid until it got a little bit dangerous. Isn't that kind of what you were doing in the past?
Yeah, you could say that.
So, yeah, that was... yeah, it should... You heard a hiss, right?
I... So, with a delay...
Ah, okay, let me turn you down here. Don't worry, let me turn you down here. How about now?
Yeah, now I don't hear me.
Okay, yeah, perfect. I just had you very high. Don't worry, because I like to hear you well, but now I don't hear you as well, but at least you don't hear yourself. Anyways, Fabian, where are you, dude? Are you in Sweden? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm back in Sweden now. I used to be a lot in China, but since the chaos started there, I was sent home, and now I've been home for... Yeah, a year and a half now.
Have you been able to keep yourself busy, or it's been kind of a difficult time?
Well, I mean, I can keep myself busy without flying, but I haven't been flying for a year and a half. But I have.
There goes your rating, dude. There goes your rating. Sorry? There goes your rating. You're gonna have to get re-certified.
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually looking at getting into simulator. Yeah, this month or next month, and on my own expense now. It's very expensive to keep your rating up.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, I don't know what they charge per hour. Like what, $700 per hour, $1,000 per hour?
I got an offer of 4 hours training and 2 hours check, and I think that was supposed to be $4,000.
So close, yeah. Yeah, it's all close.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, that's, yeah, very good. I used to be the agent, you know, for some of the military stuff for CAE, if you know their simulators.
Oh, yeah. I've been CAE many times.
Me too, so. I used to fly the 737-800s, dude. I'd come out of LA, they'd say, which airport you want? I'd say, give me LAX, because I know LAX, right? So I'd just kind of take off.
Yeah, yeah.
Do a fly around, you know, come back and then land the thing. Like, hey, you're pretty good. The only thing I didn't know how to do was flaps. I just didn't know how to work the flaps properly. But other than that, steering the airplane, it's easy. You know, lining up is easy. But getting those flaps down so that you can land it smoothly, my instructor's there going, no, flaps, flaps. I'm like, where the hell's the flaps? What? I don't know what the flaps are. So then he takes that wheel, you know, and he's just spinning the wheel. And, that, I guess, gets the flaps to go down. It's like, oh, okay, I knew that. And he just kind of winks at me and he says, okay, just put it on the ground, would you? So then you land it, you know, virtually, of course. It's kind of a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Giant PlayStation, dude. It's awesome. Yep. Let's see. Go ahead.
It's impressive if you could land it just like that on the first try.
That was easy. Come on, dude. The first time I tried to land an airplane was a little Cessna, like 162 or 172. Piper 172, and the pilot that I was with didn't tell me I was actually landing it. And I'm like, dude, you should pull back. You're coming in too heavy. Pull back. And he didn't pull back. And we bounced the plane like 30 feet in the air, you know, like almost broke the landing gear. And he just starts laughing. He says, dude, you should have pulled back. I said, well, you didn't tell me I was flying it. Come on, dude. You always handled the landing. He's like, well, you know, you were coming in pretty good. All you had to do was pull back. It was a great landing. Otherwise, all right, thanks, dude. You know, so I'm bouncing this airplane 30, 40 feet in the air, and probably the guys in the tower, like, laughing their asses off. Like, look at this freaking rookie, you know. So, because we were doing touch and goes, you know, just touch and goes, So anyways, that wasn't a great touch and go, dude. I probably looked like a real rookie there. Anyways, those are my pilot stories. I used to love to fly also. In my younger days though, I'm not so young anymore. Anyways, let's go to Sweden. You have some stuff developing in Sweden. First of all, before we go to Sweden, did you see the chaos in Spain yesterday? Did you see near Ceuta?
I missed that.
You missed that? Some great stuff, dude. You got the Spanish military literally throwing these invaders back into the sea. You know, so you got these.
Oh, really?
Yeah, these Africans are trying to come up onto the Spanish territory down on the Moroccan side of the African tip over there. And literally the Spanish soldiers are throwing the guys back into the ocean. Like, this is not your country. Get out of here. And they're throwing all these black guys into the ocean. It's kind of great to see, dude. I've never seen that before.
Finally, some sanity then. Yeah. Someone standing up for their country.
You know, yeah. So I don't know how that went down. Then how about France? Are you following anything in France with 71% of the police basically coming out and saying, hey, look, we are actually 71% of the people in France are saying we are headed to a civil war, and that's not going to be a great thing for France. Has that made it into Sweden?
I heard about that the retired militaries wrote a letter, and then they there was a letter from the police also, wasn't there?
Yes.
And I mean, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to see that all of Europe is on route for civil war, but I guess someone has to say it for dumb politicians to understand it.
Yeah, and it's been brewing for some time, but it's what's interesting about the French. They seem to be, of all the European countries, the people's population, probably the most militant of all. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. But
I think the French, when they finally say enough is enough, like with the Yellow Vest movement, they will take action. They will go out. They will fight. They're not just going to lay down like Americans, you know what I mean? Or British, you know, the British kind of lay down. They don't lay down. Or the Swedish, you Swedes are setting records there, dude. Even the Germans, though, you know what I mean? Germans, too, but Germans, have been coming out. I have a lot of listeners in Germany, so they send me videos, and I see parades and protests of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people on the streets. So the Germans are really kind of waking up to what's happening out there.
I mean, Robert Jr. was there having speech, and as far as I heard, there were up to a million people listening to him. So
that's impressive.
So,
that's really impressive. In Sweden, how are you guys doing with the COVID-19? I know you never locked down. America is essentially opening up. I'm hearing rumors that they're going after your COVID-19 people. Hey, you should have locked us up, man. You didn't do a good job. We should be in lockdown now. Is that actually happening there?
People hooked to the television are so brainwashed in Sweden that it's scary. It is really scary. I mean, we held up as an example of a government that doesn't put hard measures up. But people comply anyway. They just need to say, we recommend you do this. And people, I mean, you drive around and you see people alone in their car with mask on. And I'm thinking, if you feel comfortable, go ahead. But it looks pretty stupid.
And even outside, you know what I mean? It's outside. Because here in Saudi, everybody is outside with their mask. I'm like, do you guys realize there are no viruses out here? It's impossible. Yeah. The thing dies in like a quarter of a second when it's hit by sunlight and it's 110 degrees. And you're all wearing your masks. And you're all tired because you're breathing your CO2 all day and you can't make it through the day. And every day outside, I don't understand these guys. I honestly don't get it. It's like, how stupid can a population be and how stupid can a medical establishment be to make these types of rules? It's like, what's the matter with everybody nowadays? It literally, the planet has gone into full idiocracy.
Yeah, and the media is full of we now have vaccinated this many people, and here comes the vaccine, and this vaccine is better than that one vaccine, and vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. And you're thinking, but what's the infection fatality rate? It's like nothing, and and they still keep this on the top of the agenda, and people go around being scared. I mean, in Sweden, it's on the top of the agenda, the corona plague. But the real plague of tuberculosis that we have imported, nobody talks about. But we were a tuberculosis-free country, I think, a decade or two ago. Now we have tuberculosis with potential of being, resistant tuberculosis.
It's crazy. And that we don't talk about. We talk about this stupid COVID.
Hmm. Yeah. I didn't realize you had the tuberculosis, because tuberculosis is the number one pathogen that is spread around the world. So yeah, that is a danger. That is a danger. I remember, I remember being around people coming into America, and first thing they had to do is get a TB test. And if you didn't get it passed, then you'd have to first go into quarantine and then come back and test again and see that you're okay. You know, take some medication and stuff like that. But if you didn't pass, they were just going to, I'm so sorry, you're not welcome in our country. We just can't have you.
Yeah. And this is so strange. I mean, the Swedish government, they are talking about COVID, electronic COVID pass, so that you can register whether you have had, you have done your vaccinations or not. But to test someone who comes into the country with tuberculosis or potential tuberculosis, that's a violation of their integrity. And you can't even, if you know they have tuberculosis, you can put them under care. It's a violation of their integrity, but they're gonna make an electronic COVID pass. That's not a violation of your integrity.
Yeah, these are the things that we really have to defeat, Fabian, because this is purely a war on the native indigenous people of Europe. If you're a migrant, you can just come in, do what you want. Same in America. Welcome to the border. Walk across. Here's your piece of paper. We'll fly you. What city you want to go to? Oh, you want to go to Tennessee? Okay, we'll send you to Tennessee. You get on the airplane free of charge. You've never been tested. You just go. Yet here we are being literally forced to test, mask up, social distance, you name it. It's a dual standard here, and it's clearly an agenda that has nothing to do with actual disease.
Yeah, it's only about getting people to accept more control for your own safety. When you go to a mall here now, it's scary. They say it's constant PA announcement of remember to keep a distance of minimum 1.5 meter. And if you need to go into the store, just one in the family. We do this because we care about each other. Take care of yourselves.
Dude, that would be so dystopian. So sinister. Yeah. That is so sinister.
Yeah.
It is. That's sinister. And your people, they don't get it. They're like, oh, gee, mom, you want to go in the store today? I'll stay outside. I'll watch the bags for you.
Yeah. No. But I mean, the nationalist people, I think most of them, they understand it. They see the control agenda behind all this. But the ones hooked to the television, they are lost. They are completely lost.
Now, do you have a super high genetic jab? It's not really a vaccine. So do you have a very high genetic gene jab in Sweden? Or are people kind of saying, no, we really don't trust this. We want to let me pass for another month or two.
I mean, I don't interact that much with normies, actually.
Sure.
But what I've understood is that people don't really care which vaccine someone puts into their body. I mean, people are worried about eating genetically modified food, but they're not too worried about becoming a genetically modified organism.
Yeah, that's what I call it too, mutants, man. We're going to have a world of mutants and humans. And these guys getting genetically jabbed, they don't get it, like you just said. They're literally genetically mutating themselves. They're going to become a GMO human, and they don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, I have a friend who is actually a former medical, what's it called, scientist, worked for AstraZeneca. And he's saying that they're not actually modifying the DNA. They're modifying the function of the cell to be able to produce what's it called, the spike protein. But it's still crazy to reprogram your cell to produce something that's bad for your body. I mean,
yes, the spike protein is the problem.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, the spike protein's the problem. That's what's funny. You know, they just had this Connecticut report come out, and the spike protein is the problem. So basically, you're telling your cells to make the spike protein. How stupid is that? That's freaking stupid.
I mean, did you see that there are even parents volunteering their kids for clinical studies of vaccines?
What's next?
Are they going to put their kids up for crash test dummies?
Yeah, it's insane. I don't understand it. I mean, maybe the world is that stupid and let the elite go ahead and call a few. It's like, because you guys are idiots. I don't even know what to do about you.
Yeah, no, mate. But I've actually started listening quite a bit to this Q movement. I know a lot of people think it's rubbish, but we have another person in Sweden who is actually very well educated. He's not talking about Q, but he has similar story to tell about the deep state and so on. And he and the Q movement, as far as I understand, is really saying that the good forces are actually in power, but they are pushing it to the limit in order for people to wake up. And I think they are succeeding if that is actually the case. Because, I mean, some things are so stupid, so even people who watch the television must wake up, you know?
Yeah. Especially if you're in America, you know, we have this dementia riddled guy. It's like, dude, how can anybody put this man in power? You know, as your front man, if you're a secret hidden cabal, why would you put him in front?
Yeah, exactly. If you are the bad people, you would put someone else in power to disguise it a little bit, but this is out in the open with this confused guy.
Yeah, you got Biden there telling Biden. I don't know if you saw the speech yesterday. Steve speaking to Coast Guard cadets. He's like, "Clap at that, you stupid bastards!" It's like, who's gonna tell a class of cadets? And you're the commander in chief, and just tell them, "Clap at that, stupid bastards!" It's like, who would say that? You know, this guy's off his rockers and. Yeah. I don't know. What I want to do is, after we got 3 minutes to go in this segment, next segment, I want to go into some of these stories coming out of your nationalist, far nationalist right. I hear you guys are making some strides there, but I want to get your inside story, what you really believe is going on. So we'll do that at the second half of the show of the hour here. So go back to in your opinion, I know Europe is pushing really big time for this COVID-19 electronic pass. Is this something that Sweden is down on? The people are saying, yeah, give it to me, man. I love it. Is that where you guys are going?
Sorry, I was distracted there a little bit, but the electronic pass is something that the government tries to. They say they're going to give it to us so we can get our freedoms back. And I think that nationalist people, they understand that this is their agenda to get more control. I don't know about the normies, the ones hooked to the television. Even them should see the problem in having a passport.
We got one Jew story coming out of Sweden that's very important. I don't know if you heard it, but you had a rabbi. He was anesthetizing the children, the boys, before he was circumcising them. Did you hear about that one?
No, I haven't heard that.
Oh, you got to get up to date on that one, man. I'll tell you, you got a rabbi anesthetizing the kid before he decides to bite down on it and do what he does, you know? I'll tell you, you gotta look out for these guys. You know, they're very health oriented people.
Yeah, that's also one thing. If the general public realized what they're doing with their kids, I think there would be a bit of an uproar. But of course, it's anti-Semitic to talk about what they are doing with their kids.
You know, in America, we're losing 400 kids a day in America.
Sorry?
In America, we have 400 children plus disappear every day. Every day.
Yeah.
And it's like all they want to do is talk about COVID. They want to track and trace you, but you're losing 400 kids a day. Where are they going? Who's taking them? Where are they disappearing to? You know, and I don't know if you have a problem in Sweden. Here, no, kids walk around free, nobody worries. But in our country, you know, hell no, man. You watch your kids like a hawk. You never let them out of your sight.
Yeah, that's horrible. Yeah, I've been kind of drawn into those stories too, what they do with these kids and adrenochrome and all that. And before I just thought that, now that's just too crazy. But I've seen some documentaries now. There was some Serbian or Croatian guy, I think, who got into contact with a woman who wanted to get rid of the baby she was carrying, and she could make some money on it. And he got, you know, into these circles.
Wow.
And I believe it now. I believe well, it. I believe they are sacrificing and violating kids.
All our hard work is working, man. See? Slowly people get the idea. All right, everybody. Fabian Fjalling out of Sweden. And it's The Fetch. We'll be right back right after this. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's been a relaxed show for me today, man, because I have only had to do 1 hour of solo work, and then I have Fabian Fjalling with us out of Sweden, who is a former, we should say former, media activist. He's kind of retired from that. He, like many of us, actually put himself out on the line, found himself in the crosshairs, and really had to shut down his operation. So, guys, to those of you who want to get into this business, remember it does come with risks. It's not just getting banned from Twitter or Facebook or things like that. It can actually get escalated very, very high. Fabian, welcome back.
Thank you.
So, and I have that right? You kind of got in the crosshairs a little bit and had to shut things down. It got a little dangerous for you, didn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. But I hear myself again. So you can put me down. It was mostly my wife who reacted in a way that after a while it was not possible for me to continue. But I was warned. There was some people who knew the goings on behind the scenes, and they said the risk is not imminent, but there is a risk of being accidented or suicided or so on.
Then,
but you shouldn't overestimate that risk. It's not like it's a significant risk, but it's neither completely insignificant.
Yeah, I know a lot of our inner circle has basically been arrested or facing charges in the UK. You know what I mean? In the UK, I've got one person in prison now in Germany for an extended period of time. I got Alison Chablot in my inner circle. She's in prison now in the UK, basically for singing a song. And another good friend of ours, Graham Hart, out of Cornwall, he used to head up one of their independence movements there. Also now has got the UK authorities breathing down his neck. So, yeah, a lot of risk out there, Fabian. It's not a joke, even though it may not be physical, it could be elsewise. You had a story recently, Antifa, going after one of your associates. And apparently your associate was able to capture him, or at least identify him. Why don't you tell that story real quick?
Yeah, it's really nice. One guy I got to know through my work previously. He is still active, and he is also now a target. But he has been, his house has been vandalized 2 times prior, and then the third time he realized that they were starting to vandalize his house, and he got footage. There's actually footage on himself running out in his underwear and a baseball bat and chasing them off. And he managed to follow them, and eventually the police identified them, and now they are out in the alternative media with their identities, which is really good that they get exposed. I think it's not going to be so nice to be the Antifa operative in Gothenburg, since now everybody knows who he is, and he also has a court case coming, I think.
So a little bit of victory here, but just highlights equally the fact that when you get targeted, you don't know, it could be spray paint, but as we see in America, they may try to burn your house down.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of nationalist people in Sweden who got their houses burnt down. But it's never political violence when it's so-called right-wing extremists who get their house burnt down. Then it's just an unfortunate accident.
Looking at the populist side, you know, Trump in America is still exceedingly popular. Whether it's at the peak, let's say 2020 November, when his popularity was really up there. We have Macron coming up in France. She's a populist. I don't know what you have in Spain, but it's nice to see their soldiers throwing the people back in the ocean. Germany, I think the AfD, something like that, Alternative for Germany. I think Hungary is secure for now. Poland is largely secure for now. Greece, no, I don't think so. Romania, I'm not sure. Sweden, you guys are just starting to pop up. What's the news from your side of the Nordic Resistance Movement?
Well, I think Nordic Resistance Movement, I think they are doing a good job, I think, but they are not reaching the masses, I don't think. People are still very afraid of the Nazi label. People are also still afraid of talking about the Jewish question. And I mean, the Nordic Resistance Movement, they don't shy away from the Jewish question. So they, by adhering, they fanatically holds on to what they hold for to be true, which I think you should do. But it doesn't attract the people hooked on the television. So I think they are growing. I think they are growing significantly, but from a very low level compared to other political parties.
The Sweden Democrats, correct?
Sorry?
The Sweden Democrats.
The Sweden Democrats are going up, they are on a fairly high level, so they go a little bit up and down actually from that high level. But I don't know about the opinion polls in Sweden. I think they're all fake because some really dumb politicians are still portrayed as if they have support. We have this Annie Lööf for the Center Party, which is completely globalist, crazy globalist politician. And she is portrayed like an alternative for the prime minister in the media. And she still gets, you know, 8-10%. I don't remember what it is the last time. But you know, still will be part of the parliament. She should be out of the parliament. In other words, below 4% in Sweden. So I don't think the Swedish poll reports are honest, but I don't know. A lot of crazy politicians still have votes, but the Swedish Democrats, they are fairly high. Then we have Alternative for Sweden, which in my opinion should be the biggest party, but they still haven't made the 4% cut to get into
when
parliament.
I got a question there. When I read something like this, I'll give you the quote here. The old arguments for not talking to us no longer exist, Sweden Democrats leader Jamie Atkinson said in an interview, adding that the conservatives agree with him, at least on the direction, which would be to cut immigration. Now, who are these conservatives?
Conservatives, I would say, are the mildly conservatives are Swedish Democrats. All the others are pretty much communists in my opinion. But of course we have a right-wing party, which is kind of called right-wing, which is the moderates. I mean, they are to blame for the latest catastrophe of immigration in Sweden. So I don't understand how people still can vote for them. But I don't know. It's the television programming that destroys people's minds. They don't have a memory that stretches beyond the last election.
Yeah, who's the media guy that owns all your properties? Bonin or something like that? Bonin. Some Jewish guy?
Yeah, a Jewish guy. Bonnier family.
Bonnier family. They came in, bought up literally all of Sweden's media, so you have no diversity of thought in Sweden.
No, no.
No, it's the same. It's pretty much the same. It's Bonnier or Schibsted. That's the two names. Then there are some other foundation-owned media, but in the end, it's vast majority Jewish-owned. And they have their agenda, as you all know.
Yes, everyone in this show knows for sure.
Yeah. But so many in Sweden don't understand that there is an agenda behind the media. They think they get honest, neutral reporting. But it's starting to go up for people that it's not neutral, it's not honest. So that's a wake up that's going on. And I think it is accelerating. The mainstream media are losing viewers continuously.
How did the 2020 election with the Trump phenomena, obviously the playing up of the fake news and all the different tactics we heard Trump use to expose what really is the enemy of the people, which is the media, and that would include your media. How did all of that play, or did it play in Sweden?
Well, it's very polarized. I mean, there are people like me who think I think he is probably coming back, and I think he is going to be looked back in history as one of the greatest presidents you've ever had. And then there are the others who say, he said, grab them by the pussy. Mm. He has stupid hair.
I think just to, from our side, American side, I think what our concern is, you know, you put Trump into power and he does a lot of good things, but what he didn't do, he didn't deal with social media. So all of us got banned and we're his main people fighting for him. He basically did nothing for white America per se. It's always about here, I got the best black this, best black that, best Latino that. In the meantime, all of us are being vilified as terrorists, white supremacists, white nationalists. And then he left us in a situation where we've got a communist take over the country by a dementia. That's what it appears to be. But I agree with you. Maybe there's more hidden behind the scenes here. You know what I mean? Just maybe. But that's how the average normie will see this, is that's how Trump left the country.
Yeah, but I don't think he have left. You say he didn't do anything about the social media. I would say he really exposed social media. I mean, if Twitter bans the president of the United States, they are digging their own grave. They're blowing themselves up when they are banning the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. So I would say by being banned, he did more than he could have ever done with any regulations.
Yeah, a lot of us have been banned everywhere we go. So it's like, okay, Trump, welcome to the club.
yeah, exactly.
So for a lot of us, you know what I mean, who were already further far right than him, this wasn't a big deal to us. It's like, well, we told you so type of thing.
Yeah, but
I guess, still, I mean, I hear your point. I think you make a good point.
On social media.
No, I think you make a good point.
Attack on social media.
Yeah. No, it's a good point because a lot of us, we're already so far awake. Trump is still asleep, but I don't think he is that much. But certain things, he just doesn't seem to get it. He seems to be clueless sometimes. You know, just maybe he's surrounded by just people that keep him sheltered or whatever. But the impression we get is he just doesn't get it. So you get a lot of people angry with Trump right now in America.
Yeah, but I don't think he tells, I mean, it's not, maybe it's, you know, 30% public what he talks about and what he does and what he knows and what he says. I think there's a lot more going on than what you see. I mean, when he was tweeting, I have a bigger nuclear button than Kim Jong-un. And the world media was going crazy. He's going to start the Third World War. 3 weeks later, he was stepped over the demilitarized zone and shook and hugged Kim Jong-un. So he really attacked.
Yeah, maybe, you know what I mean? And maybe that was his nuclear thing. Hey, look, I'm already friends with him, guys. That's my big nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
Maybe he already had that and his nuclear weapon was really, I'm just a friend of his already. We see eye to eye. Yeah. We get it. He's okay. We'll be making a deal. Another complaint about Trump. See if you guys agree with this from your side, is that Trump is a deal maker. Okay, that's his claim to fame. I raised this about maybe 3 months ago. I saw the same thing brought up just last week or this week on some article that was kind of semi-national. And it's that Trump is a negotiator, but he's not a fighter. So he's always willing to just take whatever deal comes his way. He'll just take the best deal he can. Do you see that as being an issue?
Well, I think it is good when you are a politician to be pragmatic. I think that many administrations before him have stood up for the human values and gone smashing Libya to pieces or Iraq or whatever because they stood up for whatever they stood up for. I don't know what it was, but they stood up for something, they said. Trump makes deals with people. I think it's a lot better to make deals than to drop bombs. So
a lot of people agree with that assessment. Talking about bombs falling, I think you probably heard today that Hamas and Israel have agreed to a ceasefire, so that should be calming down a bit. So the bombs will stop. I don't know if you saw, probably didn't, but I saw Netanyahu's press conference about how moral superior they are, and look, we're trying to save as many people as possible. But I really think what stopped that real quick is the U.S. Congress's actual saying, hey, look, let's put this $785 million foreign aid on hold till we kind of flesh this out. And of course, Israel can do nothing without basically using U.S. money. And so you're talking about $1 billion in munitions, and Israel probably said, you know what? We probably burned $1 billion in munitions on this operation. Maybe we better cut a deal and stop. So maybe the U.S. Congress did something positive by cutting this, you know, slowing the $785 million to Israel.
Yeah. I'm sure that's it. I mean, if they would get more money for making more wars, they would make more wars. That's how they work.
That is indeed. So going back now, you've got in Sweden right now, you've got still your feminist government, correct?
Yeah. with the prime minister who is so low intelligent that he is the proof that there are powers behind the scenes that are actually in power, because there's no way he could end up on the highest.
So you have like a Biden
by his own merits.
You have like a Biden. You have a Swedish Biden.
Oh yeah. He's I mean, if he wasn't paid 150,000 crowns a month, I would actually feel a bit sorry for him. But there's something, you know, intellectually missing for him.
What's the relationship right now with Russia and Putin? Because Putin's been talking a lot about, look, we're tired. They just put the U.S. on an unfriendly list. They put Slovakia and I believe the Czech Republic on a unfriendly list, which means that basically we're persona non grata right now with the Russians. How is it working in Northern Europe to play with Putin and Europe?
Sweden has always had a stupid, antagonistic relationship. It's like a, you know, barking chihuahua. I mean, they are always making utterly stupid. I haven't heard the latest, but it's always when you open the window to the mainstream media and the politicians, they always say something completely insanely stupid about Russia. I don't think as long as we don't put NATO nuclear warheads on our soil, which they are aching to do, Sweden will be of limited interest for Russia. But, of course, if they invite NATO to put bases and nuclear warheads here, of course, Russia will have to act on that.
Yeah, like with Poland, you know, Poland's like saying, yeah, go ahead and bomb me, guys. Here's all my missile bases, here, and here. Just blow them up when you feel ready. So I know Russia was talking today, look, you know, we're getting tired of listening to all you guys constantly going after us. So he was like saying, look, we're ready to just play smash mouth with you guys because nobody's going to defeat us. I mean, and I don't know if you've got the same, and probably you do, but, you know, in our country, America, we've got this woke, this new woke doctrine in our military. So we got commercials going on national TV saying, basically promoting homosexuality and LGBT. Oh, come join the army and be your really true self. It's the army, you know, the military.
We have the commander-in-chief walking pride parades, and they have recruitment ads about the army that doesn't walk how do they say it? We don't walk straight or something like that, saying that they want homosexuals in the army. I mean, the biggest risk a Spetsnaz unit would have when trying to invade Sweden is that they're going to laugh to death when they meet the Swedish rainbow soldiers.
It'll be a new definition of a German walk through Europe, you know, back in 1939. Yeah. It won't even be, I don't understand what my country's doing right now. You know, the forces at play, if the white hats are in control and they're just playing this up to just show how stupid this whole philosophy really is by putting it on steroids and putting it before people. Perhaps it's working and he knows that Putin and China maybe aren't going to do anything. They're just kind of playing along.
Yeah, I think it's a global operation. I don't think it's only Trump. I think he's talking to many other countries about this takedown of the deep state. And I definitely think that it might be part of it that they push this LGBT agenda where it definitely should not be. I mean, if you are gay, it's not something that that should not be an issue for you if you want to be a military man. You might be gay, but that I don't care what you want to do with your genitals. You're going to kill people if you are an army man. Hmm. If you want to stick your genitals somewhere, which most people don't, that's up to you. Keep it to yourself and concentrate on using your M15 or 16, whatever the name is.
Yes, and just go out there and do your job, man. We don't want to hear you.
But yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like your identity is not how you want to use your genitals. Your identity is what ideas you have about what's right and wrong, and what ideas you're ready to die for.
Yeah, I was saying the LGBT gay agenda. Their brain is in their pants, man. It doesn't go beyond that. It's how can I satisfy myself today and punish everybody that doesn't agree with how I satisfied myself today. These people, again, I've never seen, honestly, you know, growing up in the 70s, you know, I grew up in the 70s and I being a top student and all that. I never in my wildest dreams saw the world becoming this stupid. I mean, it's just like, I don't know, global stupidity. I don't know what to do, man. It's like, how do you fix something that is so broken?
Yeah, I mean, I have a religious thought on that. I mean, I firmly believe that is that we have turned away from Jesus. And that is the reason why we get increasing chaos. And I think more and more people are starting to realize that Jesus is the answer. I think chaos is going to end within our lifetime.
A lot of people are, you know what, a lot of people actually do believe that, what you're saying. In fact, there was a kind of a lively discussion about that on a show recently, you know, with the people that are into the religion, in a way that's saying, look, you guys are too irrational. Jesus is not going to save this. It's going to take guns and bullets and steel at the end of the day. You know, Jesus will only help those who will help themselves type of thing. Where others are just kind of like leaving it open for just hope, 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 hope. And so that's where I find things today equally is that. But the Christians equally, you know, the Christians are under assault everywhere. Everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
China, yes, to your country, to my country, to Egypt.
But we need to have real Christianity, the kind of Christianity that went on crusades to defend Europe.
Agreed, yeah. And I think Christians have lost that. That's part of the problem.
Yeah.
They are the majority of Western civilization still. So ultimately, they have the numbers, not the oddballs like me. If you know what I mean. So Christianity and the Christians really do have to come together and realize they're under threat.
Yeah, but maybe I'm stupidly optimistic, but one reason why I trust Trump and the so-called white hats is that they often talk about God and Jesus. That to me, if their actions are in line with the ideas of Christ and they talk about Christ, that makes me trust them a lot. Then if he does some admissions to Israel or say he's the best friend of the Jews or whatever, it doesn't destroy his whole deed, so to say, his whole mission or whatever. I don't know the English word.
Yeah, no, I get you. It's actually a good place to leave it. I believe we are out of time. There you go. Hey, Fabian, thanks for joining me for an hour, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, let's talk soon. Thanks so much. All right, good night, everybody. See you Saturday, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. Good night.